The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. We find ourselves today in the same spot where we left off last week, in the wilderness around the Lake of Galilee. But now, after feeding the 5,000, Jesus dismisses the crowds and he sends the 12 away to finally get that time alone. And he goes up on the mountain, the place of encounter, the place where from time before time people have encountered the Lord. He goes up to the mountain to pray. This week, I'm still in that process of wondering. Last week, I wondered about the humanity of Jesus, wondered about his grieving, his discouragement. And this week, I'm wondering about his divinity. Jesus, the Son of God, fully God, undiluted. Why does Jesus need to pray? If Jesus is God, why does he need to pray? I mean, I can pray like Jonah. I've had a lot of experience praying like Jonah, knowing the will of God, turning the other way, running away, finding myself in despair in the belly of the fish, crying out in my distress, and then finding myself vomited up in the place where I should have already been. This is a prayer that teaches us faith, even if it's a little slow for some of us. But it's not a prayer that Jesus would need. And I can pray like Peter, knowing and following the will of God, straining and struggling against the contrary wind, frustrated, beginning to despair, and then encountering Jesus and calling out, "If you are truly God, if you are truly God," that same prayer of Gideon, "Lord, I believe, but if this is really you, give me a sign." This too is a prayer that teaches us faith, but it's not a prayer that Jesus would need. And I can pray like our psalmist today, knowing the might and glory of God in poetic and abstract vision, worshiping this majestic vision of God enthroned. I know this is real in my heart. I know in the depths of my being that this is where I worship, even when I can't see it in the struggle and trial of daily life. And this is faithful prayer. And it's a prayer that Jesus prays. But I don't think that's what he's praying on the mountain. And I can pray like Paul, grieving and interceding for those who have turned away from the love and the life that is found only in the eternal life of the Trinity, to which Christ invites us by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is faithful prayer for us. And we see Jesus pray this prayer over Jerusalem. Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks. But again, I don't think this is the prayer that Jesus sought on the mountaintop in the wilderness outside of Galilee. What is it like to pray like Jesus on that mountaintop? You know, to get there, I think we need to get into some big words in the theology of the Trinity. This word kenosis, this emptying that characterizes the Trinity. If we think about the glory of the three in one, the mystery of the Trinity, I always think about it like that Escher drawing of the hand that's drawing the hand that's drawing the hand that's drawing the hand, but with three. This eternal dance, the perichoresis of the Trinity, like pouring pitchers, the Son pouring and emptying into the Father and into the Spirit, receiving from the Father and the Spirit as they empty into Him. The Spirit pouring into the Son and into the Father. The Father pouring into the Spirit and into the Son. Like a two-headed pitcher, always emptying and always being filled. This is the mystery of the Trinity. And it's this overflowing, self-donating, and self-receiving love that comes out in creation. We see God saying, let us, the Holy Trinity, make mankind in our own image. And God gathers the dust and the clay. And from the outpouring of love, He breathes life into that image, into the Hadam, into mankind. We see that overflowing, that emptying of God into mankind in the mystery of the incarnation, that divine mystery by which the Word becomes flesh. Or as Paul writes in that glorious Christ hymn in Philippians, be of the same mind as Christ Jesus, who though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God, did not count this relationship of giving and receiving, eternally emptied and eternally filled, did not count this as a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself into all humanity, taking on the form of a man, the form of a servant. It's the same emptying that we see as the Holy Spirit is poured out upon all flesh on that glorious day of Pentecost. It's this very life of emptying and being filled to which we're invited as we are baptized into the holy name, into the name of the eternal Trinity, into the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I think this is what Jesus comes to the mountaintop to experience more fully. Jesus, fully human and fully divine, comes to the mountaintop to be filled by the Spirit and the Father so He can empty Himself yet again in ministry. He comes to partake of that divine dance, receiving and emptying, eternally emptied, eternally filled. So what about us? This is Jesus. Jesus is fully human, fully divine. What about us, mere mortals? Bernard of Clairvaux. I'm a veterinarian. I just can't call him Saint Bernard. I'm sorry. But Bernard of Clairvaux writes, and he writes this about those who study theology, but it could be just as well about those who minister, those who pray, those who serve. The one who is truly wise, therefore, will see his life as more like a reservoir than a canal. The canal simultaneously pours out what it receives. The reservoir retains the water until it is filled, and then discharges from the overflow without any loss to itself. Today, there are far too many in the church who act like canals. The reservoirs are far too rare. See, we get this eternally being emptied. We run and we run and we run. It's this being filled to overflowing that I think we often miss. It's this filled to overflowing to which Jesus goes on that mountaintop, to which Jesus invites us. He invites us to be emptied and to be filled. You know, as we look through this lens of Matthew, looking from the Great Commission at the end, behold, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, as you go about your daily lives, as you go about among the peoples, make disciples, teaching them what I have taught you. Jesus has taught us how to pray, what we call the Lord's Prayer. He teaches us to call out, to be filled in intimacy. Our Father, Abba. Oh, what glorious intimacy. And he calls us to dependence, to worship, and to submission. He calls us to a prayer of emptying. Our Father who dwells in heaven above earth, may your name be holy above all things. May your kingdom be manifest here. May your will be done on heaven as it always is, or on earth as it always is in heaven. He calls us to a prayer for provision, for guidance, and for transformation. A prayer of filling. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us and teach us to forgive. Lead us and deliver us. And then to that great doxology, a prayer of overflowing love. Your kingdom, your power, and your glory. This is what we sang about in the psalm today. Ascribe to the Lord glory and honor. Be now and forevermore. Prayer to be emptied, to be filled. So now as we look again at this passage through this lens of Matthew, of the power of Christ, the purpose of Christ, and the presence of Christ, we see the power of God manifest as Jesus walks on the water, hovering over the sea as the Spirit of God hovered over the sea in creation, over the chaos and the void. Before the earth had been brought forth, before there was anything living, God hovered over the sea. And we see the presence of Christ manifest. As Jesus walks towards the disciples, they cry out in fear. Jesus calls out, "It is I. Ego I me." A statement of the divine name. Take courage. I am. And do not fear. Then we see this purpose, this making disciples, this teaching and inviting into the life of the Trinity. You see, Jesus is teaching as he is doing. And we see in this second scene on the Lake of Galilee, in the second time at night when the disciples are afraid. The first is their crossing and Jesus is asleep in the back. The storm comes up. The waters come over the edge. In fear, the disciples wake Jesus. He says to the waters and to the waves, "Peace, be still." It's still. And the disciples cry out, "Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" And now, the second time, is Jesus comes walking across the water to meet them in a boat that's struggling against the wind, struggling against the waves. They're putting all they have into it. Exhausted and tired in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus comes. And the disciples' response, "You truly are the Son of God." And for the first time in Matthew's narrative, they worship. Jesus teaches. By walking along, he walks with them in their doubt, in their unknowing, in their trying to piece together and make sense who he is. He walks with them patiently until they recognize in that encounter that Jesus truly is God incarnate and worship. What a beautiful model for us to walk with those around us. In their doubts, in their fears, in their unbelief, to walk in love, to show them who this is, to show them that I am in flesh, and wait, and then worship with them, and invite them into the life that is the Trinity, the eternal emptying, the eternal filling, that is to be baptized into the name, the reputation, the heritage, and the inheritance of the great three in one. To be baptized into this outpouring life that is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so I invite you today to come to this table of life, to come to receive and to be filled, to come and take the bread of life, the body and the blood that is given for you and for many that they may know life, to come and be emptied of fear and doubt, and then to go overflowing with the love and the life of God, to be poured out as light and hope into a world that seems mired in darkness and fear, to go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.